holding your chain. That's all I'm doing.
I have a comment and a question. The comment is, just was thinking about when you were talking about that you imagine the dominion mandate will extend beyond the earth. I thought of a verse, which I'm sure you've thought about as well. Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end.
I'm going to use that one.
It never will. It's always going to increase. And we even science says that the universe they can see is expanding as well. So that mystery of God's creation is always growing. But then the increase of Jesus' government will never end as well. That's really cool. But then the question I had was John 14, when Jesus says that he's going to go away to prepare a place for us. Do you think that that means that the New Jerusalem is still under construction, so to speak, like Jesus is working on it, and do the
same? No, I don't.
Okay.
And when he said I'm preparing a place, I think he meant I'm going to the cross.
Oh, gotcha.
I think the cross is how he prepared the place for this. I don't think he's been pulled out the old saw and hammer and went back to work, like in the old days in Nazareth.
Oh, okay. Because I was thinking, like, the saints who have gone before us, who have passed away, if perhaps they were joining him in that.
Because I'm thinking the creative power of Genesis 1, he still has it.
Gotcha. I was thinking, like, in his humanity, he would like to do that grunt work and sweat and all that and get the hammer out and stuff.
And I think that he will do that in the earth. But my guess is when he goes, I'm going to a place, I think he means the cross.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So verse 5 made me think of another verse. And I'm going to read it. Verse 5 of 21 says that, behold, I'm making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. So that marks a new reality for the earth, humanity, everything. The previous chapter, actually 19, chapter 19, verse 9, the angel said to me, write this. So it's similar language. Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. So my question is there any possibility that this marks or limits the who are part of the bride? Up until that moment of the marriage supper of the Lamb, those are the people who are part of the bride, and people who are have natural bodies throughout the millennium are people of God, but people of the kingdom and not the bride. Is there anything that would go against that?
I think everybody that's born again is in the bride. I don't think there's born again people who aren't the bride. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Okay, and so because that if that doesn't help me understand how we're going to reign over people if they're all the
bride. Because people are got natural bodies, and everybody has a different sphere of authority and a different sphere of the measure of God's glory.
Okay.
Angels are over angels.
Okay.
There's archangels, seraphim, cherubim, all kinds of categories.
So it also makes me think about, so Armageddon, the kings of the earth, in chapter 19, verse 19, come against Jesus and his armies. So it's about Jesus. Now, at the end of the millennium, when Satan is released, he deceives the nations, and they come surrounding the saints and the city. So could it be that the big deception at the end is that he's going to tell the people who have natural bodies, you're never going to govern the earth. So why didn't you kill them so you can take their places? Just like he did with Adam and Eve, you will be like God. So if you kill the bride, you will take over the earth. That could be the big deception.
Yeah, ish.
Because they're surrounding the saints and the city, both called the bride.
Good. I like that. I think also there's one piece of Satan's strategy that's throughout, which is to attack the family, because it's the first commandment God ever gave. So this is the first thing when Satan's getting insight into God speaking to men, and God tells them, be fruitful and multiply. I want a family, and then you can subdue the earth. Mm-hmm. And so Satan has, from the beginning, had the strategy of, if I can attack the family unit, then that means I can prevent them as the seed of Eve. I can prevent the seed of Eve from subduing the earth. And I think, I mean, this is probably a side note, but I actually think that's why there's a lot to Elijah coming to restore all things, and part of his restoration of all things is turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. Because I think it is the first commandment given to man is, I want a family. And when you get the family unit right, then you can subdue the earth.
In the about that, is there anything that goes against that argument?
Yeah, I mean, it's plausible.
Okay.
I don't have anything against it.
Okay, so let's think about it next summer.
I got a comment and a question. The comment is in Revelation 21:2 and Revelation 21:10. I believe it's at the same time, but that John saw the New Jerusalem at two different places. And the question is, when Jesus comes back to cleanse the earth and all the blood is going to be spilt and people will die and Jerusalem will still be not cleansed, where's the New Jerusalem going to be when Jesus comes back? And
I don't think it's called down yet.
It won't be down yet.
In a minute to clean up that 30 days and that 45 days. And then okay. After that, you know, the 75 days of Daniel, right?
Right.
That's a guess.
Oh, need your microphone. Oh, that's a guess. The 75 days of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 11 and 12, is that it?
12 and 11.
Yeah. Thank you, and Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
All right.
Chris, go easy now.
We're both tired.
Don't go out in a bang. Just go out in a whimper.
I should have thought harder.
I saw him in the perma pacing, meditating on the word this morning.
You
I saw
actually
it.
Have very good questions, actually. We have fun teasing you because they're hard, but they're really thought through, actually. I love them, actually.
Two questions. One, I saw no temple in it, the Lord God and the Lamb are its temple. Are you saying we have to tease that out because...
I don't understand that so well. It's massive.
Is it because the millennial temple is there, there's obviously sacrifices, and then we're wondering what happens after? Is there something that says that the millennial sacrifices keep going into the...
No, or because there are no sacrifices in the New Jerusalem, there is no need for a temple. It's not ritual... It's worship only without ritual. That's my assumption, something like that.
But it's still a throne room, and so part of Revelation has the throne room and the temple as one entity. Maybe just that the whole could it still have the same furniture as the temple in heaven, just have the different function because the whole city carries the glory the same way? Is it just a matter of the terminology?
It's a throne room.
Throne room.
Throne room. But it didn't have the religious ritual of the temple in the millennium.
My other question is concerning the warning at the end of the book to
that's
not add or to
that one. I thought you meant the...
Well, yeah, there's a few of them, but the one about adding words to the prophecy or taking them away, that I struggle with it because it's like to be dogmatic about Revelation, what if you're wrong and you added to it? What if you... didn't understand, you just said, I didn't understand, but he considers that. You didn't say it, what it says there.
I don't think it's saying, I don't think he's saying you better not misunderstand the truth. I think he's saying if you're in a position of power, you can't take a chapter out and then tell the nations you didn't and trick them. Don't mess with it.
Okay.
I think it means that. It's those stewards of what you call the manuscripts.
It doesn't mean our facilitator training needs to be more exact, per se. We're really in trouble here.
But considering
that, I think the manuscript people, they really can get rid of verses. And then he says, you don't do that.
So you don't think it's about the literal interpretation versus the spiritual interpretation?
No.
You think it's about
Removing the text out of the manuscript.
Okay, I've never
That's what
that.
I think.
Intentionally avoiding it, cutting it out, right?
On purpose. Because I think a few manuscript guys probably in history got rid of a few things they didn't like. I mean, that's just a guess. I have no knowledge of that.
Actually, Revelation 20 is the chapter that has been the most contested about. People trying to take it away.
But so they can misinterpret it and not be in trouble of judgment.
Yeah, it's malice.
But they can't take it out of the manuscript.
I have an online question. It's twofold. So first one, do babies who die as babies get to choose / reject God after Satan is loosed after the 1,000 years? That way they have a choice. This is Christina.
Oh, that's easy, Jesse. Just learn that one.
You were talking about this earlier,
right?
Go ahead,
Jesse. Come on.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I've been waiting for the right context to be able to unfold this lofty theological. I don't know. The only thing I can think of in regard to babies.
We really don't know.
Yeah, there's nothing. The only thing I can think of is that God is good. His plan is good. Right? I know that's the Sunday school answer.
No, that's a good
but
answer.
It's whatever
like
God, whatever, however God has worked that out, then I believe it's good and he's faithful and he's true to his word. So,
The second question is, wouldn't the two witnesses need to be in Enoch and Elijah so that the verse, every man is destined to die once,
comes
true? Yeah,
we don't
want to
take that on. We don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's 1 Corinthians 15, 51, 53 says that there's a mystery that a whole generation won't die.
Yeah, we just
so
don't
they,
know.
We won't. We will skip.
I think Enoch and Elijah and Moses are good, are real good guesses, but we don't have to know.
Yeah, we don't have to know.
It's the guys that call fire down from heaven and it works. Those are the guys.
Yeah. And they're guys. They're giving oil to us, so that's where it's whoever they are, they're awesome. They're helping us out.
Yeah. But I think it's reasonable. Those three are reasonable, but we don't know.
I have a question in regards to the names of the foundations of New Jerusalem. Do we know exactly who those 12 apostles are? Because I was thinking disciples, but Paul was not.
Oh, yes, the 12 apostles of the Lamb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the
those
names.
Are not the 12 apostles in the book of Acts. The apostles of the Lamb are the original 12, you know, the Matthias and Jesus, Judas.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's those 12.
Thank you.
Could you imagine John writing Revelation and his name is on the foundation? He sees his name and he goes, what do you do with that?
Are we fall and worship an angel accidentally?
No, what? I wonder if that had a little to do with it.
Yeah, he's a little fatigued.
You
got to
cut
end.
John a break, man. No, he's seen some stuff at the end of this book.
What did he do with that? Amanda.
I have one and then I'll give it to you, Amanda. I think it's from the same person, Christina. If we prepare the air for the Father to descend into a perfect world, what happens to the never-ending smoke from Babylon?
It still goes up.
Good.
Forever and ever.
Because no one said perfect, meaning the judgment is gone. The judgment is still in place.
So Revelation 22, there's a river of life flowing from the throne. Daniel 7, there's a river of fire flowing from the throne. Ooh. So wondering if you had any thoughts on if those are the same river or if they're related to one another or how that all goes together.
They're probably related but not the same. That's good. I think they're not the same, but they are related.
Well, we know
they have to be best friends.
Right.
Don't they? No, for real. Those have got to be working together somehow.
I mean, we know in Ezekiel, the one in the river of life, what's connected to the millennial earth, but we don't have another verse that tells us of a river of fire connected to the earth. Do we?
No.
We just have the river of fire in Daniel 7.
The mind boggles.
I mean, I've heard it suggested. I don't want to name drop in case they don't want me to, but they suggested that the river of fire actually feeds the lake of fire.
Ooh, it could. No, I mean, really could.
You have to, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Where else is it going?
I mean, we don't know if that's true, but that does make sense.
Both coming from the throne, so, I mean, just visualize that.
Man, ugh. Last one.
Last one. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Here it says, it seems like as a church, as a bride, we should ask the Lord come soon, come earlier. But I notice also in the Old Testament, many scriptures said the day of the Lord is great, and don't desire that day. Such as in Amos chapter 18 to 20.
Right.
Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light, as if a man did flee from a lion,
and
the bear met him and went into the house and learned.
So your question, what's your question on that?
My question I'm real familiar with that passage. So the scriptures in the Old Testament, right, it seems that we shouldn't desire the day of the Lord because they is darkness, no light.
Right.
And we know that the coming of Jesus means trouble.
Right.
So
right,
should we desire that day or
yes,
ask him to come or not?
I don't know if we ask him to come. I don't understand that. If we say, would you hurry up and come? And he's going to say, well, my father set the time. I don't really know about asking him to come. So I don't pray that prayer. I hear some people do that. But the day of the Lord in the Amos 5, they were rebellious and wanted the day of the Lord. That's the only reason it was bad. Not because the day of the Lord is bad, because they were rebellious. He goes, you want the day of the Lord? You want me to show my strength? I'll kill you if I do that. To the redeemed that love Jesus, that's a very different situation. So it's not Old Testament is anti-day of the Lord and New Testament is pro-day of the Lord. It's rebellious people should not want the day of the Lord, and godly people do.
Now should we ask the Lord to come or not? Because I hear many sounds in the prayer room. They say, oh, come Jesus, many sounds like
no, that. I think it's like I apply the prayer three times. I say, come near us. That's intimacy
come
with God. Come to us, revival in our region, our nation. Come for us. That's the second coming. And we don't pray for him to come for us in the sky till after the abomination of desolation. We don't even pray that till after that time.
Okay. I see. And my second question is about Matthew 25. Matthew 25.
25.
The
Matthew
judgment. 25. Yeah, you also mentioned in the handout today. Last time you said the least brother means Israel. I still don't quite understand why the least brother refers to Israel, not the normal Christians.
I don't want to answer that because we've had that question three times in a row out there for 10 minutes. So I'm going to give you the same answer. So I don't have a different answer than I've given you three times after the meeting.
Yes, I know. But
and I appreciate you don't like that answer, but that's the same answer. So I don't want to keep saying
it. I just want the reason behind that. I'm curious about it.
No, I know. I've told you, but you just don't think it's right. And I don't have anything new to tell you, Smith, the point.
Okay, thank you.
And that's fair, because you might be right and I might be wrong. That's cool. I love the way you love Jesus. Let's go with that. But I don't want to explain it again. Amen and amen.
Amen. Yeah. All right, see you February 5th. Have a good vacation, holiday, Christmas. Bless you.